One cell, is this on?
Please, ban the basketball housewives.
Sad to see Dog the Bounty Hunter coming to an end.
Who the fuck? What the fuck? Why?
My comic book nerd brain just cannot accept it.
That's the dumbest fucking premise for a show I've ever heard in my life.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Fourth pack is back, cause of mass destruction. Guess who's here? The bad boys arresting. Just in competition when the war does the mission. Not no mercy, see the race like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the war pack. Point number one, just believe that you don't want to touch the bell. I'll be there for the bell, coming to grave with them, you're never walking out again. Talk to your back on the wolf pack. Talk to your back on the wolf pack. You might wind up in a body bag.
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Theo Double G. And tonight I'm joined by my brother, the Adam Black.
What's up, y'all?
And we are recording on March 19th, 2013. I first want to say welcome to our show and make sure to check out our website, theclicknation.com. Also, follow the Click Nation Twitter account at theclicknation. Like our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Check us out on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Find us on Google Plus. We have a Google Plus page and a community, and they're both just under The Click Nation for the page, and The Click Nation community is the community. And if you ever want to send some feedback to be read on a future show, make sure to send that to theclicknation@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And two shout-outs to Pop Culture Network for providing me my comic books that I do our comic book reviews for. That's popculturenetwork.com. And also, you can find our podcast on the Comic Related Podcasting Network. That's comicrelated.com. So with all, oh, and also follow our individual Twitter accounts. I am at TimDOGG98.
And I am at @the_Adam_Black on Twitter.
So tonight, we will, the main focus of the show will be about MegaCon 2013, which took place this past weekend in Orlando, Florida, which I was lucky enough to attend. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity, since it's just the two of us, I can sort of recap the weekend and what I saw and what I did, and basically that's about it for that. And we'll also talk about news and a couple of Blu-ray releases, sort of a typical thing we do on our show.
Of course.
So, let's see, the next thing we're going to roll into will be, what the fuck is out on Blu-ray?
And this edition of What the Fuck Is Out on Blu-ray will be brought by, me, the Adam Black. Not much came out. We had pretty much two big releases. One was The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. And these releases were for March 19th, 2013. You have both editions. You have two different versions on Blu-ray. You have the Blu-ray version as well as a 3D Blu-ray. And you also have another release that came out was Zero Dark Thirty. Another big Oscar contender movie. Pretty much the same thing. You can get it in Blu-ray, DVD, as well as it includes an ultraviolet digital copy. So run to your Best Buy. I plan on getting that. I still need to get a Wreck-It Ralph as well, because that's already out. So yeah, I'm going to get that.
I want to see Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of actually excited to see that. So I'll probably actually wind up purchasing that and The Hobbit, because my wife loves The Hobbit movies. So. Well, the Lord of the Ring movie, so and we never did actually get to see that in theaters.
Yeah, I heard mixed things on The Hobbit, as I see a commercial come on my TV right now for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the Lord of the Rings. I know, Mr. Banff will, of course, disagree. You know, I mean, it has its fans, and then it has its, you know,
fans.
Yeah, I mean, fanatics. You know, that's a movie, if it's on, as far as sitting down and watching it, I can't watch 3 hours straight of a movie, just sit down and watch it. And I could do it in theater one time, but after that, it's a good movie to have on while you're doing other things. And, you know, of course, catch the action scenes. But beyond that, you know, be a whole lot of walking in those movies.
Yeah. Walking and talking.
Yeah. I need to post that Honest trailer on Facebook. But basically those are the only ones, and I believe Katy Perry's movie came out on Blu-ray as well. If you want to go out and cop that, hey, that's on you.
Anything else on the Blu-ray releases?
Pretty much that's it. You know, that was pretty much, it was just those two things, really, and Katy Perry.
I guess they are big movies, too, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I went, you know, especially The Hobbit, a lot of people are going to be buying that when it comes, you know, now that it's out, so.
Yeah. Okay. So now we'll seamlessly transition on over to some Click Nation news. This section of the Click Nation podcast is brought to you by the Adam Black.
Yes, we got a few things. It's been a while since we've been, you know, since we did an episode. I think this is the first episode in March. All right. Tim, you're a basketball fan. I bet you wanted to see a documentary on Amari Stoudemire.
Why would I want to do that?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, Epix, pay movie channel, is going to air a documentary on Amari Stoudemire called In the Moment. And it's a true inside look at what it takes to become and remain one of the world's most dominant basketball players, revealing his greatest dreams and fears, his focus and challenges. The film follows the New York Knicks power forward and author whose quest in the 2012-2013 season is to bring a championship to New York before he finishes his career, while also sharing personal stories from his life and upbringing. This is the second documentary from Epix in the Moment series.
I wonder if they're going to focus on the moment when he punched the fire extinguisher glass. During the playoffs,
never
last
know.
Year.
Yeah. Didn't he wind up missing?
Yes.
The next game or something.
Yeah, I want to say he actually did come back and try to play at least a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something I won't understand since I've never been an athlete. And the next news story was actually from a few weeks back, but it was actually brought up again today. Apple is is planning to release this year, the iWatch, which will basically be about the first smartwatch, which is basically an iPhone or an iPad device on your wrist, and you can use it to, I'm guessing, surf the internet, do all types of stuff. The smartwatch will allow users to make calls, use caller ID, and check map coordinates, and will also contain a pedometer for tracking steps and heart rate. According to this article from the 4th, it will run iOS, which is currently posing battery life issues in the product's development. Instead of the watch lasting 4 to 5 days, the prototypes are only lasting about 2 days.
I have no, I guess that, for one, I hadn't heard of this before, and two, I'm not sure if I even have the inkling to want to own an iWatch. They didn't say, give a guess at pricing, did they?
No pricing guesses. I can probably guess. I mean, well, it's hard to say with Apple. I mean, something like that you would think would only be a couple hundred, but you know, would you want to pay for a watch like this, though?
Yeah.
But it makes calls, though. That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Who actually uses their phone to make calls nowadays?
I mean, I pretty much use my phone to play various games, to send text messages. Shout outs to the PWO as I get like 19 text messages in my boxes because we're like all in one group sending text messages. So I get tons and tons and tons, especially when I'm at work and I look down and there's like 20 from one conversation. So, yeah. And because of the iWatch, Samsung is racing to get their own version of the iWatch this year as well, hoping to beat Apple. So I can only guess this will be called Galaxy Watch 1 or some crap like that.
Galaxy Watch. Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And so now the two big phone carriers are going to do their own version of a watch.
Right.
So, there you go about that. And let's see. Now I go back to my emails. And let's see. I didn't actually get your opinion on this, Tim, about the Marvel 700 free issues that were released last week, and I was like, cool. And I tried myself to download a few for myself, and I just kept getting problems.
Yeah, did they ever fix the problems, or did they just give up on it?
They pretty much gave up. Comixology said that, you know, basically it happens, you know, stuff like this happens, you know, when they decide to do something that's usually free or try to do other things like this in other, you know, applications. You know, it's not just comic books, but when they spike up the usage, usually you get a crash. Ask anyone who rented or who tried to buy a ROH pay-per-view in 2012. Because their iPay-per-views constantly kept crashing.
Yeah.
So, basically, that's what happened. As Marvel announced 700 free issues on their digital app. And pretty much everyone tried to download those issues and ran into all types of problems, to the point where Comixology basically gave up and said they would try to pursue the program at a later date.
Yeah, because I opened the web page so I could browse, see what issues, what books were being offered.
Mm-hmm. They had a lot.
Yeah, I saw a couple that I was going to buy, but then, like you said, by that point, the site was down, and I tried doing it through the app, on Comixology, and I just got download failure messages.
Yeah. Pretty much when I used the Marvel app, that's what happened. It kept saying, cannot download, cannot connect, that type of thing. So it never worked.
Yeah. It was nice of Marvel to offer that. I'm sure they figured, there'd be probably a big stress load on their systems, but they probably weren't expecting it to be as big a strain as it turned out to be.
Yep. But, that's pretty much it. It was just kind of sad, that Marvel had put up a big campaign for it, and then it wound up ultimately failing, so.
Yeah.
But we will see what happens next. They said they'll come back to the program. I hope it does happen soon, because, it was a worthwhile program, 700 free issues, and, you have them digitally, it's perfect. You can carry it on your iPad or your iPhone. All right. As you know, on last week's Office, Tim, they aired an episode called The Farm.
Actually, I don't, because I've been just recording them, but haven't been watching the episodes.
Well, The Farm was intended originally to be a backdoor pilot for Dwight Schrute.
Yeah.
But they ultimately said that it's not going to happen. They're not going to pursue a spinoff for Dwight, the character. But Rainn Wilson, has a job already lined up in a CBS pilot called Backstrom.
Oh.
And unfortunately, Tim, it's not a comedy. This will be a drama.
For Rainn Wilson?
Yes. It's based upon a Swedish book. Backstrom centers on Everett Backstrom, who will be played by Wilson, an overweight, offensive, irascible detective as he tries and fails to change his self-destructive behavior. In addition to starring, Wilson will serve as producer.
Okay.
Yep. So, at least he has, a job. And pretty much most of those Office people are getting offers for pilots and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep.
And and Michael Scott still isn't returning for the series finale.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to do it. I kind of felt bad that he wasn't going to do it, but I can kind of understand too. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Old news.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of Steve Carell, his movie Burt Wonderstone bombed at the box office over this past weekend.
Oops.
Yeah.
I actually kind of wanted to see that.
It seemed like it was good. Yeah. It did seem interesting, at least. The number one movie was Oz, which is continuing to, build a strong audience and adding more money to its, to the coffers, as they say. Number two, believe it or not, was The Call, starring Halle Berry, which is a WWE picture.
Halle Berry.
Yep. And it's actually proven to be strong, which, like I said, I was very surprised at it. Let's see. Oz for the weekend got 42. The Call earned $17.1 million. Incredible Burt Wonderstone earned $10.3 million. Jack the Giant Slayer for the weekend earned $6 million. And Identity Thief, still showing strong for an R-rated movie, earned $4.5 million.
Okay.
And let's see. And that's pretty much all I had for Click Nation news. I did want to bring up something that you actually posted on your Facebook page a little while ago. And it was about Comixology starting an independent...
and people submit to... have their comments be on Comixology.
Yeah. And if I can find the actual article.
Find it.
It's, oops. Hold on, let me make sure. Maybe it's in my window. All right. And this comes from IGN. And they want to know, if you're an independent comic book creator that's looking for a new distribution platform, Comixology has opened its submit program for submissions. It will let creators upload their work directly to Comixology for approval and eventually for purchase. Once you upload your comic, Comixology will take over and process your work for use in their system, including the incorporation of guided view technology that lets the reader drift from panel to panel at the touch of a screen. As for profits, it will be a 50-50 split with Comixology.
Not bad.
So if you, so if you're a self-publisher already, this would probably be very beneficial for you.
I was going to say, I was going to ask you about, you seen the news about, was it Marvel Unlimited?
Where they
it's an app, it's like a subscription service where I guess you download the Marvel, I think it's Marvel Unlimited app, and you get access to a whole bunch of like backlog catalog of Marvel comics, and you pay like a certain fee a month. My guy, Roddy Cat on Twitter peeped me to it a while ago. But it wasn't on iOS devices yet. It was just like
Android.
Well, not even Android. I think it was just like on web
version.
But now they've pushed it to mobile devices.
Sweet.
So if there's like older books that you're more interested in, they have them.
Oh, okay. Now that's what's up.
Yeah, might want to check that out.
Okay, I will.
And before we finish news, I also want to say a quick rant eulogy to Young Justice, which ended this past weekend. Yes, the two seasons are finally over, and you know Cartoon Network is replacing it with the more kid-friendly Teen Titans Go.
Yes, and yes, they are.
I saw iFanboy tweeted like a preview video for it. And I was like, no thanks. I'm good. Not watching that crap. Not even a preview video. But as far as the season finale, it was cool. It kind of felt rushed in the beginning because they had to wrap up everything and then set up stuff for a third season, which won't be coming. And, you know, spoilers, we had the death of Wally West.
Poor Wally can't catch a break.
Which was kind of funny how it mirrored, you know, it was Artemis who faked her death, but now it's Wally who actually is dead, or so we think he's dead. Yeah. Probably trapped in the Speed Force. Just like
that
in the comics.
True.
And I liked it when the Justice League showed up at Mount Justice, and they were like, what happened here? And then they look up and they see the team, the team, as they call them, flying down to greet them, just like what happened back in season one. And actually, the first episode of this season, of like the Justice League showing up when Aqualad, Robin, and Kid Flash had broken the Cadmus and broke Superboy out from season one. And then how they showed up in the first episode from season two when Robin, Tim Drake, Blue Beetle, and Lagoon Boy had fought with the whatever the aliens were called.
But was it the Reach or the Light or
it wasn't it wasn't the Reach yet. They were not even sure what they were called.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
The little green guys. So that was kind of cool, and we had Nightwing taking a leave of absence from the team. Aqualad put back in charge. And Batgirl's going to step up and takes a leadership role with Nightwing gone, and Impulse taking the mantle of Kid Flash, and Artemis changing over to Tigress. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'll miss my Young Justice. Green Lantern, the animated series, also ended, but not really.
Did it end, or was it? I thought it was. Is it in this week?
It ended this week.
Okay.
Yep, it's done too.
Both sad.
I'm gonna miss Green Lantern just because it wasn't as good as Young Justice. It was very repetitive, like how season one was. Just doing the same kind of stories over and over again, except replace the Red Lanterns with Manhunters.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Yeah. Now, I know Marvel announced that they're going to do a 1-hour preview for Avengers Assemble coming up in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still not looking forward to that either.
Yeah, I'm not either. But, you know, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we can do a podcast about, you know, comic book shows that we wish could have been continued, but, you know.
Yeah, that is one to maybe put in the... I'm going to jot that down in the archive.
All right.
But I guess that's it for news, right?
Yes, sir.
So, I guess we'll... haven't done breaks in a while, so we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get to discussing MegaCon right after this. IDW. JC. DC. Marvel. IBS. Justice League. Valiant. Dark One. What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No, yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, what? We don't give a. As long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison, just they left. And we're back. So, MegaCon. Last year, I was all jealous of people going to, like, New York Comic-Con and San Diego Comic-Con and getting to sit on all these panels. So I was like, this year, I'm going to a comic book convention. And originally, I was planning on just doing New York Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
But with MegaCon being in Orlando, which is the state right over and within driver's distance of Georgia, I decided, hey, I'll do that one. It's a little smaller convention, so I can sort of get my feet wet and know what to expect when I go to some of the bigger conferences, hopefully in the future. So I made the trip down to Orlando for MegaCon, got in town Friday night, had a great hotel thanks to Priceline.com. It was a 4-star hotel. Got it for just a little over 100 a night. And got to hang out with some of the folks from Twitter who I conversate with that live in the Orlando area. Shout outs to Bonafide Bro on Twitter and Tuck Fritter on Twitter. They showed me a good time. We went out Friday night to downtown Orlando. Just saw the sights. But that was all that actually went on Friday. But Saturday was actual MegaCon. So, let's see. Saturday, woke up, parked at the convention center, rode the bus shuttle over to where the actual convention was taking place at, and then stood in line for a good while. And even though we had advance tickets, me and a friend went down. Even though we had advance tickets, the advance ticket line was still long. So I stood in line. And I took one picture of a cosplayer she was dressed up as Batgirl, and she was actually standing behind me. So I was like, "Hey, let me get your picture." And she actually found herself on Instagram last night. She was like, "Hey, that's me." And she took it as a compliment that she was the only cosplayer I took a picture of. But let's see, we got inside, and then it was just a matter of, by the time we got inside, it was kind of close to 12, and I missed one panel that I kind of wanted to go to. Let me bring up the schedule for Saturday. Okay. MSCNW. There was a panel. Let's see. Yeah, I wanted to go to the Working on Licensed Comics panel, but that started at 10:30, and we didn't really wake up till 9 something because we were out to like 2. So waking up early and getting to the convention center at like 8:30, like we originally planned, was thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, there was a Working on Licensed Comics panel with Chuck Ditson, Andy Price, Jeremy Dell, Robert Atkins, Jeremy Ginty, Mike Atia, and Elliot Fernandez, who I've only heard of Chuck Ditson, so maybe that's all right. But
great writer.
Chuck Ditson?
Yes.
Yeah. There was the Meet the Addams Family, which I sat in on, and it was Neil Adams and his two sons, because it was supposed to be Jason, Josh, and Joel, but I forget exactly. Oh, I got my notes down here. One of them didn't make it, and it was, yeah, Josh and Joel were there with them. And Neil Adams is kind of a prick. He sounded disgruntled with the comic book industry, which I guess is fine. But like, because I guess he's riding Extreme X-Men. Or the first X-Men, whatever that title is.
He drew it. I think Matt Fraction wrote it, but he drew it.
I didn't know if it was
It's not
going...
that bad.
Oh, really?
It was the first. It was on. It was only a miniseries, I thought.
Yeah, I believe it is. But
I got all the issues. I actually liked it.
Yeah, there was a couple questions like. Someone asked, you know, hard copy or digital, which do they prefer? And basically, Neil did all the talking, really. And this will come up again in another panel that I sat in on, where he sort of just, he was the only one speaking. It's like I was listening to Neil Adams all day. But he was saying that hard copy, you know, they said hard copy isn't going away. Don't be afraid of the future. Which is kind of funny, considering how he seemed to be favoring things from the past, or how comics used to be, or the business used to be run. You didn't have to worry about the Disneys of the world telling you what to do, or dictating characters and storylines.
Yeah, pretty much. I read the Marvel Comics The Untold story. He did a lot as far as standing up for comic book creators. I believe he was the one that kind of put together the deal that that got the Siegels and the Schusters the money for Superman. So he's very outspoken. I know some of the guys from Hideous Energy's comic book podcast. They said some things about him too, as far as his, opinions. I'll put it like that. But he's very opinionated.
What did they say? They agreed with him?
No, they didn't necessarily agree with him. I believe they kind of called him kind of kooky and a nutbag, something like that. But
yeah, my friend called him a dick. And that this was actually.
Well, was he rude or anything? Or
yeah,
just...
in another panel that I'll get to later, he kind of like someone asked a question and he gave like a condescending answer at first before he actually went into like he was trying to be funny, I guess. Like his,
oh, I guess his snark. He was
yeah, he was
snarky.
Getting like snarky. He was being very snarky with people.
Yeah,
trying to be funny, I guess.
Yeah, and he has that humor that you know. People would kind of get,
yeah, or take the wrong
get
way.
Confused or take it the wrong. People may take it the wrong way, but you know, but if he's a douche, he's a douche.
Yeah, but that yeah the Neil Adams panel. There wasn't really much in that panel. The basis was, let me read it. Yeah, as they discussed, what's it like to all be in the business of art? Because like Neil's in the comics, one of the others I guess works in TV or film. And mm-hmm. the other one is comics, too, I think. So, but after that panel was done, we walked out into the main, sort of the main area, and started going through. This is when I started going through and getting books signed. So,
getting autographs.
Yeah,
so
let me grab them real quick so I can tell you exactly which ones I got signed. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I was able to find Crisis on Infinite Earths, even though mm-hmm. we're missing like two parts from it.
Uh-huh.
I believe. But George Perez was there, and he was nice enough to sign all. Let's see. All of them. Because let's see, I have issues one. We had one, two, three. 4, 5, 6, and 9. So we're missing 7 and 8.
And then 11 and 12.
Yeah, and 11 and 12.
Or 10, 11, 12.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah.
And he was real nice. He's like, I was like, do you mind signing my books? And he was like, sure, I get to work on comics all day. So he was the first person I hit up. So he signed those. Let's see. Then I saw Jim Chung. So I got my copy of Avengers: The Children's Crusade signed.
Cool.
That you got me for my birthday last year, I believe, or year before last.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had like a random issue of X-Force that he drew that he signed for me. I had some others of I didn't bring them with me, but. We have some more issues of X-Force that he drew, but... Oh, yeah, I got issue 100 of X-Force signed by him.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just take one of these. Mark Waite, I had took Kingdom Come because Mark Waite was supposed to have been there, but he canceled early in the week.
Oh, man.
So that kind of sucked. I was looking forward to getting that signed. And... I took your copy of Captain America Winter Soldier and got that signed by Steve Epting.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he was there. There were some other people there. Let me bring up the guest list so I can tell you exactly who all was there. Because I want to get it right. As I wait for the site to open... Just added. Okay, so comic book. Oh yeah, Wasp Pistachio was there. Mark Bagley was there, and I couldn't find. I didn't have enough time to go through all of our stuff, so I didn't find any Mark Bagley stuff to really get signed.
Oh man, I know we got tons.
Yeah, that's what I said. And actually, like after I got back, I went start going through some more stuff, and I did find. I found a lot of Eric Larson stuff, and I think a couple of. Bagley. I actually have the Ultimate Spider-Man like Volume 1 somewhere. Not sure where that is. That would have been pretty nice to have gotten signed. who else did I saw? Jim Chung, Frank Cho was there. He actually was in a panel I sat in on.
Savage Wolverine?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm digging that book. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and actually I'll go ahead and say what panel that was that I sat in on after walking around a little bit. That was the... Oh, yeah. It was an X-Men panel. But before that, I actually sat in on the Join the Marvel crew for the Now Take on a Classic Game, which is, let's see, celebrity panelists Mike Perkins, Mark Waid, who wasn't there, Mike McCone, George Molina, and other amazing talents joined host and Marvel's manager of talent relations, George Belliard, for Marvel's Fill in the Blank game. Contestants chosen from the audience will have the opportunity to compete for prizes as they try to get into the minds of some of comics' most illustrious talents. So all that was where they pit two people from the crowd to sit up on stage with them, and they'd ask questions like, I wish I could remember some of them now, like Peter Parker does this, uses this to fight crime, and yet like come up with a witty answer and hope that your answer matched one of the panelists' answers. So we sat there for a couple of minutes, and then I got kind of bored with it because it was just a game. So I left and walked around some more. But what was the other panel I went to? Oh, yeah, the Extremely Exciting X panel.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bob Layden, Frank Cho, Chris Claremont, Brandon Peterson, who canceled, and Neil Adams discussed bringing the legendary and very X teams to life. More fun than a Danger Room. And I actually had a dilemma because that panel was going on around the same time as the All About DC panel, which had, let's see, from the murky depths of Atlantis to the seedy streets of Gotham, joined superstars Adam Hughes, Ethan Van Sciver, Gail Simone, and Paul Pelletier in a Q&A about their work in the New 52 universe. So I was like, man, which one do I go to? But, mm-hmm. You know, I can't pass up X-Men talk.
Oh, God.
And I kind of wish I had went to the DC one now after sending the X-Men one and listening to Neil Adams talk all day.
Yeah.
But let's see. Chuck Dixon, I think, was there.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through the list here. Chris Claremont was there. He talked a little bit in the panel. Trying to think of people I actually saw. Jorge Molina. He sat in the X-Men panel. Steve McNiven, I saw him. Clayman, I saw. He does, or did, or I'm not sure if he's still doing Gambit or not. Clayman, he's doing, isn't he? He doing X Factor, or did some stuff with X Factor, I believe.
What was that?
Clayman.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Damn, listed as X-Men and Gambit. Bob Layden, who I had never heard of before, but apparently he's done a lot of Iron Man stuff. And I guess X-Factor.
Yeah. He did. Him and David, I'm not sure, David Michelinie, I believe. He used to write Spider-Man back in the day. But they did the Demon in the Bottle storyline.
Yeah, okay, he mentioned that one. That's classic story. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did the Ironmonger storyline with Stane. So, yeah, he's done a lot.
I didn't realize we had so many Iron Man books when I was going through our collection earlier. Mm-hmm. This actually took place after I got back as I was going through more of the collection.
Yeah, that's the one thing about conventions. You'll wind up, especially if you got a lot, you'll leave and you'll come back and find that there's so much you could have brought.
Yes.
But the one thing is, like, when you go, it's like, well, you don't want to be hauling around.
Yeah,
you
know, that was the thing.
I did that at a few where you go and have a whole bunch in the car and you go back out and put more in your bag or whatever. And, you know, it's a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
After a while, you just, like, take what you really want signed if you can find it.
Yeah, that's all I did. I took what I intended to get signed and got everything signed except one. And that's just because I forgot Mark Waid had canceled. Let's see, Jimmy Palmiotti. Mm-hmm. Saw him at his table. I didn't see Paul Pelletier. I don't even know if I saw his table. George Perez, I saw. Wiles Protasio, saw him. Mateo Scalera, walked by, saw him. He was working on a sketch when I saw him. I didn't see Gail Simone. I'm sure she was there. Frank Thierry, I don't remember if I saw him or not. Or Tim Townsend. I believe I saw Ethan Van Sciver and Billy Tucci. And actually, I did some networking with Sajjad Shah. Who
is that?
He doesn't do anything major now, but I follow him on Twitter because someone else retweeted a picture that I believe he drew, but the person who was one of the people originally retweeted is his inker.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I replied back, I was like, hey, that's pretty nice art. And the inker was like, thanks. And I remember his name because I followed both of them. So when I saw his name behind the table, I was like, I pulled my phone up. I was like, I think I follow this guy. And I found his Twitter name, and I went up and started talking to him. And I was like, he had like this card for like this company he works for now. Cause the card had, or the flyer had a bunch of artists, I guess, who are under contract with them now, but his name wasn't on it. But he said it was because he had just joined up with them, so he wrote his name down so I'd know it. And then I was like, I asked him who his inker was, because I was like, I believe your inker follows me on Twitter. And he said the guy's name, and I was like, yeah, that's the guy. And so he was like, okay, send me a tweet and I'll follow you. So I did, and he followed me. And then I started talking to him about how I do comic reviews and whatnot. I asked him if he'd be up for an interview, and he gave me his email, and I sent him an email yesterday, so still waiting to hear back. Hopefully, I can have him on a show, interview in some form or fashion. And he gave me a free signed print of a Hulk picture he has. So that was kind of cool. His art's pretty good. I like it.
Oh yeah, the sketches. I encourage people to get a good good art book blank with the blank pages.
I wish I had done that. Just take them to a convention, man.
Yeah, if you can. And, you know, just get cool sketches, man. I got one in one of these books from Rick Leonardi. Back in the day, he did Spider-Man 2099. So
oh, okay.
I got a sketch of his. But, yeah, if you can get, pencilers and inkers to do sketches, that's always cool.
Yeah, I got to remember that for if I ever go to another one again. Because all I did was I bought two prints from Jim Chung. I bought Iron Man Marvel Now image, which I've used as my Twitter icon in the past. Mm-hmm. And then I bought a Children of the Crusade image where it's like the X-Men coming. The Avengers coming to meet the Avengers. Avengers coming to meet the X-Men, I should say.
Okay.
So there was two. It was one for 20 or two for 30. So I went and got the two. Then I went and found paid $5 a piece for the protective cover thing you slide them in. So like for comic books. So,
yeah.
Yeah. What do you call those things?
It's called like Mylar sleeves.
Yeah, the sleeve to put them in. So got that signed. He signed those and I bought those. He was real cool. I got him confused with Oliver Corporal for a minute because I was like, you're doing X-Men. I was like, wait a minute, no, you're not.
No, not that guy.
Yeah, not that one. So let's see. Let me talk about the X-Men panel real quick because I did jot some notes down during that. It was Frank Cho, Chris Claremont, Neil Adams, Bob Layden. And so, Neil Adams was knocking DC characters for being boring.
Because
they're the archetypes or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was saying, you know, X-Men are flawed and you have, or DC characters who are boring. Can't do anything with them.
Aww.
So there was that. Yeah, Marvel characters are flawed, he said. Claremont said he could relate to the X-Men because he himself was an immigrant, so he could relate to them. Yeah, Neil, I jot down Neil Adams, very opinionated.
Yes, he is.
And then somehow the question came up of, like, why isn't Chris Claremont doing X-Men books anymore? To which the crowd started applauding.
Oh, God.
Like, we want Claremont. We want Claremont. I was kind of sitting there like,
not so much.
I'm cool.
No, I'm fine.
But then my whole thing is like, sure, yes, I'm sure these people grew up as fans of Claremont and, you know, they, Claremont the god. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you gotta let other people draw and write these characters too. Can't be the same people writing them and drawing them forever.
Yeah, Claremont had like a 17-issue run or 17-year run.
Yeah,
on the book plus a year or two, they came back and did it.
Yeah,
and when he came back and did it, it was pretty much a disaster.
They had to create the Extreme X-Men form and then let him go ahead and do stuff in the future with the X-Men. The end.
That was terrible.
I didn't read it, but I just know it was terrible.
Yeah, I went to Barnes & Noble and would read. I think they had the whole collection. I tried to read them. I'm like, this is stupid. Yeah. Comic book fans just exist in a vacuum whenever they were reading the books and those books are cool. Exactly. And I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
It's awesome. They're like, oh man, this is good. This was the best time ever. Why don't we revisit it? But you can't. Some things have to be let go.
Yep. And then someone asked him about his thoughts on Days of Future Past being turned into a movie. And he said, I have no comments.
Okay.
If I couldn't legally say anything about it, I assumed.
Yeah.
And then someone asked a question about getting rid of trademarks. And basically, so like anyone could write about any character. Had the freedom to write about any character without worrying about trademarks. And I believe that might have been when Neil Adams was like, gave the snippy remark or the condescending remark before he actually did start trying to at least answer the question a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like, because basically like, you know, trademarks aren't going away, so forget that.
Yeah.
He didn't say but that's basically the gist of what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, they themselves as creators have to rely on trademarks too for their work, you know, their own personal work. So
yeah, exactly.
You don't want trademarks going away.
Yep. Pretty much you got, if you want to write whatever, that's called fan fiction. Do whatever you feel like doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of a weird question, but you know, at least it's a question.
Yeah. And actually, I had meant to ask in the Adams Family panel, I was going to ask him which DC characters did he enjoy drawing the most and or despised the most, but they stopped taking questions by the time I thought about it.
He did a pretty good Batman. I will say that. I liked his Batman. I liked his Green Arrow. So
there was that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then right after that panel ended, people start flying in there. As people were leaving, folks were flying in there because we were getting ready to leave. And I was like, what is everyone coming in here for? So I asked someone, and they were like, it's the movie trailer panel was about to start.
Oh, good.
So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'll sit through this.
Mm-hmm.
First one was Hangover 3. Yeah, okay, it was cool. And then that's like the only one I really remember. Because it seems like it was nothing, but I swear I saw four trailers for vampire movies, other random stuff that I didn't care about. Like, all I wanted to see was Man of Steel,
like, big movies.
And Iron Man. Like, the guy, one of the guys said, like, I guess Friday, they did movie trailers Friday, and they showed Man of Steel, and supposedly they showed, like, some extra footage not released, so I was like, cool. And so then, like, we had been sitting there for, like, it had been like 30 minutes, and like I said, sat through I don't know how many vampire movie. Saw some, and then some of the stuff was like straight to video. Like there was a Wesley Snipes movie where
the infamous Wesley Snipes.
He looked like Django, and he was killing vampires or undead creatures or something. It was like Blade meets Django Unchained. And then I heard like straight, it had no release date yet or anything. And I was like, I checked my schedule again. I was like, how long is this thing again? And it's like around four. It started like a little after four, and it said from four to six. I was like, yep, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't about to sit there 2 hours, especially like a lot of stuff was a lot. I think the majority of stuff was ending at six too. So yeah. I didn't want to sit there until close.
I can live without trailers. Someplace like San Diego Comic-Con or, you know, New York Comic-Con, I could probably have dealt with it.
I could watch them online.
Yeah.
I got you.
Otherwise, yeah, I'd be doing the exact same thing. I'm just going to watch it whenever.
Yeah. So, I tried to find myself a superhero mask because I want a mask.
Mm-hmm. Mobile Armored Strike Command?
No.
Oh, okay.
I finally found a table that had like five Lucha Libre masks. They had like the Rey Mysterio mask. I decided not to buy it because I'm gonna wait for a superhero, find a superhero one. So maybe I'm gonna go online and go to like superherostuff.com. They had a huge ensemble of tent set up, but no masks. They had a bunch of T-shirts, of course. I almost bought the Superior Spider-Man number one cover Ryan Stegman T-shirt, but I said no. It was $22. I was like, I don't need another T-shirt, even though I love that picture. I'd rather have it like a poster or something, I think. So
yeah.
And I had to, of course, wear a comic book T-shirt to the event. So I wore my I had a Jim Chung T-shirt on, as a matter of fact, which I didn't realize until he had like the same picture behind him, behind his table. It was it's a black T-shirt, and it's like it's from the Heroes Reborn, or not Heroes Reborn, Heroic Age image.
Oh, okay.
That teaser image they released. And only people on there are the Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, and Spider-Man crouching.
Okay.
That was kind of cool. Should have had him sign my T-shirt to get washed over.
Yeah.
Let's see. After we left the movie trailer panel, we walked around Artist Alley a little more. Then we stood in line outside for the shuttle to pick us up, which, of course, there's a line for that. And then we went home and we went back to the hotel and then went out to eat and came home that Sunday, and that was it.
Okay, so you didn't do 2 days.
Nah, we got up and left Sunday.
Okay.
Didn't buy any comics or books.
Oh, man, you gotta go down there and get the swag.
Yeah, they had a bunch of the tables had, you know, boxes and whatnot.
Comics, yeah.
And some of the, you know, trades were on sale, but I didn't really see any trades that I really needed, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my first convention was MegaCon. That was, of course, back in the 96.
Yeah.
I went with my boy Rick of the PWO, went to that convention. And, of course, Mom and Dad will, and you can attest that was the convention I went to and caught chicken pox.
Yes, they made sure to bring that up. When I told him where I was going.
Yeah, I had talked to Dad. He brought that up too. But yeah, and you know, back in the day, that was when comics was even crazier then. I mean, Image was still like 4 or 5 years old at that point, and it was just crazy. But yeah, in Orlando, being there, it's, you know, a fun town. So
yeah.
And so it had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can definitely see catching chicken pots at something like that because people were everywhere
sneezing and coughing. Yeah. And
people scattered everywhere eating, trying to find a spot to sit down and eat.
Yeah, that was a problem at conventions it was like you could, there were places to eat, but then you could, you like, you basically were standing up most of the time in a corner trying to eat your food. I think the last convention I went to, there were charging stations for the phones.
I didn't see any charging stations, but we did charge our phone in some of the panels, though.
Mm-hmm.
At least the early ones. The Neil Adams panel, or the Adams Family panel, and the game panel. Because there weren't too many people in those.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely, you know, if you do wind up going and you do have a chance to stand in line for some, get a sketchbook or something, and even if it's a small one, get one and then, you know, see if you can get people to sign, do sketches and that type of thing the next time you go.
Yeah. And, so yeah, that'll definitely be the next thing to remember to do besides get more stuff signed. Yeah, I need some original sketches. And that's, it was cool, like, walking around the tables and seeing the artists, like, doing their sketches for the for people, like, the sketches in progress.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Matteo Scalero, who's on, he did Secret Avengers, like, he had a notebook with his sketches, like, art from Secret Avengers in it. It just wasn't inked. It wasn't inked, or, well, I guess it might have been inked. It wasn't colored or anything, just black and white. Like,
oh, selling it?
Yeah, I guess it was for sale, because he had, like, it would say, like, Secret of, in the topic, it would say, like, Secret Avengers number 30, whatever, page.
Okay. And
the page number.
Oh, man, original art. That's something. It's just trying to, you have to get the right piece, you know, and that type of thing. You get the right page, you know, because you definitely want the splash page, the cover, but those are going to be, of course, the most expensive ones.
Yeah.
So
that was, I guess that pretty much sums up MegaCon. I doubt I do New York Comic Con in the same year, because I need to recharge the bank account now.
Yeah.
But next year, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
As I can have the parents annoy me more about going somewhere.
Yeah, that's what mom and dad do.
Well, mom.
Oh, mom some more.
Just
you don't need to be going anywhere. Hey.
But so I guess that'll be a nice ending point for the show tonight. Let's see. Might actually have, I got feedback to read. At least from the last couple of comments on some posts on the website. Let me bring it up here. Comments. Comments. We got them. Let's see. Try to remember where we left off. We haven't read anything from this month yet.
No.
Okay, Roddy Cat replied to Comic Book Chronicles episode 9, which was, that was me and Eclectic, I believe. He said, was going to get into a thing, but I'll keep it brief, perhaps the board. The colors of the Infinity Gem, this is referring to New Avengers number 2, I guess, where the Infinity Gems got broke, or 3. The colors of the Infinity Gems were wrong. Hitman came out and said it was a mistake. Sounds like a little thing, but not so much for some. Number 2, I have a theory about Cap's oopsie. That was not a mistake. That happened on purpose. The gems are not gone, and we will see Cap again in the book, I think. 3, I find the irony and Eclectic's reasons for why he hates on Black Panther, which is new to me, can be said more about Namor, especially if you add pompous ass to the list. Namor to a T. And then Sean Martin, hopefully I said that right. He replied to the Comic Book Chronicles for 3/7/2013. He's actually a Classic, I believe, knows him. He's on another podcast. I think I forget the name of it. Something Marvel podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I can't find it. Anyway, let me just read his comments. He says, "Nice catch on the MGH thing in Age of Ultron. I totally didn't notice that." And actually, I don't even know what MGH stands for. Because I don't even know what I said about MGH. Anyway, after explaining what happens to Starbrand in New Universe, I'm really excited to see what happens in Avengers now. The biggest praise for all new X-Men I have is that it's a typical Bendis pace book that doesn't feel like a typical Bendis book. It feels like it's building to something big. Also, Bendis / Marquez might be my favorite team at Marvel. Bendis has a lot of talking heads, and Marquez gives amazing emotion during those scenes. Really enjoyed the banter and detours you take into other comics as well. Somebody else loves Cable and X-Force. Been hearing a lot of negative stuff, but I joined for LaRocca and stayed for Hopeless. Also like how it might tie into Infinity. Bendis said all new X-Men would tie into Infinity as well because of Jean and the Phoenix, apparently. He asked, do you guys record live with listener input or just reply to tweets? And I let him know that we do all three. We record live, take listener input, I reply to tweets during the show, all that good stuff. So,
and I'm looking now, apparently Under Armour...
Oh, yeah.
Has DC has comic book shirts.
For the 50 or the 40.
Yeah, that shit ain't cheap.
Nope.
So you can get Iron Man or Spider-Man, Captain or Superman or Batman. And that shit ain't cheap.
Yeah.
Who must protect this house?
We protect this house. Marvel now. Or mm-hmm. New 52.
For the $45 to $60.
And let's see. That was all for the comments. So, yes, thanks everyone for replying. Actually, Doug... Or Dirt from PC Pop Culture Network. He replied to your Vibe review.
Yeah.
He said, while I like this new version of Vibe, I was one of the ones glad to see the original break that's in full go down. I do plan on sticking with this series, though. Good stuff. So, if you're interested in the Comic Book Chronicles podcast, you can make sure to follow... the Click Nation Google Plus account. There'll be updates and info on there about the show. YouTube.com/TheClickNation will have the videos uploaded. Basically, I just let everyone know, I try to do them live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if you see me on Twitter, you can just tweet me. I can send you an invite to make sure you're on that mailing list for it. And whenever the event goes live, you get the email notification, and it'll have the YouTube URL link in it that you can click to watch. I probably need to also start embedding them into the website so you can go to the website and watch it live.
May help.
Yep, more hits.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff I'm thinking about.
Mm.
Any shout outs you want to give tonight?
Shout out to the PWO. As they say, without them, I would be nothing. Long story. Let's see. Of course, shout out to pretty much all the listeners. Anyone who took the time to download this episode and was willing to listen to it, appreciate it. Please give any type of feedback. Any type of feedback is good feedback.
Indeed.
And, of course, shout out to the Cold Slither crew, Underscoop Fire crew, Tile Pending crew,
pretty much all the other crews out there.
Shout out to anyone that listens to the or watches the Comic Book Chronicles live.
Yep. Thanks for sitting up with my brother talking about comic books.
Yeah, man. It'd be fun. And hopefully in the future, Adam Black will be on a future show.
I'll try. Kind of got to do a little shopping as of right now, so.
Yeah.
So.
I guess that's about it. Shout-outs to Cold Slither Podcast and the Excited Discussion Podcast. And for, like I say, everyone who's watching, either listens or watches our shows. Once again, follow us on Twitter at The Click Nation for the Twitter, the Click Nation Twitter account, and I'm at TimDogg98. Adam Black is at @the_Adam_Black on Twitter. Hopefully, in future episodes, I'm going to start trying to plan some interviews. I've been, besides just the Sajjad Shah interview, hopefully in the future, also want to get some other people on the Click Nation podcast. So hopefully in the upcoming weeks and months, you'll hear some different voices on here besides just us. Stay tuned for that. Also, WrestleMania season's coming up. I guess spoil that one. Our grip man, Kojak Delta, wants to be on the recap episode for WrestleMania. So we'll definitely
awesome.
Do that.
About time we got Kojak on.
Yeah, he had hit me up a while ago. I told him originally to remind me once WrestleMania season came. Well, once WrestleMania came up, because he let me know like a month ago. I was like, "Yeah, just remind me." But then I actually did. I saw I had it written down in my notes where I keep stuff for the podcast here. So there's that. So Kojak, you'll be hearing him on the show. He'll more than likely probably be the next guest you hear on here, but maybe you might have one more before him. Never know. But I guess I'll call it a night. So for the Adam Black, I am Tim DOGG. Thank you for listening to the Click Nation podcast, and we are signing off.
PWO.
Deuces.
This wasn't no movie. The smart thing was to say yes, get up, and leave the room. But then I thought to myself, what if this was a movie? Look, you, the plane you flew in on, them shoes, your socks with the bell on it, your gay ass accent, them cheap ass cigars, your yuck mouth teeth, your hairpiece, your chocolate, Guy Ritchie, Prince William, the Queen. This is America. My president is black and my Lambo is blue, nigga. Now get the out of my hotel room. And if I see you in the street, I'm slapping the out of you.
Up in a body bag.